Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast, and we're here tonight with another wonderful episode, Topic Talk, Family Dynamics, Understanding and Dealing with Toxic or Questionable Energy. This will be part one. You know, for the most part, I think I can really apply to this right away, Maya Moon, was, you know, my birthday was on Thanksgiving, so it was a little tough, you know. Part of us wanted to go out to dinner. Part of us didn't want to go out to dinner. So the decision was just made. I did it. I said, I'm having dinner. Solved the problem. But you know, that's what had happened to me just recently. So I'll let you start with this, Maya. What do you have to say about it?
Well, yeah, I agree. This part of the reason why I really like this topic is it's applicable really any time. But what I found anyways, just as a human being in my own life and with my clients, is that it seems that with the holidays, I know not everyone celebrates Thanksgiving the way that you and I do, but there's a lot of celebrations of this type. And then, you know, we have Christmas, we have Hanukkah, we have a lot of different holidays throughout December that are celebrated differently. And, you know, the family dynamics, it seems to me that for many of us, we feel that we are pushed into what normally is not acceptable for some reason, because it's the holidays, we have to accept. And that's not, sometimes it's good to overlook, you know, things that, you know, hey, will this matter in a year? No, you know, I can overlook it. I can stand it for a day. Sometimes that's very gracious, compassionate energy. But sometimes I believe we go too far. And, of course, and I want to welcome everyone to the show this evening and mention how glad I am to be here. And I know that I've had my experiences in situations where, in both sides, times that I felt that toxic energy or questionable energy, and to me, questionable just means maybe it's not something you can put your finger on. It's not something that he or she does that's just outwardly gross or disgusting or totally inappropriate. It's just a feeling that you might have, that, which is why it's worded questionable. So, this is a great topic. And I know that many of us, even those in, I just had a client today, and I won't go into much detail, but it's okay. It's not, it's actually some of my older private clients I will talk to around this time of year. So I know she wouldn't care. She is talking about her workplace, and there's been some situations last year or whatever. I don't think it was last year at this time, but it was whatever the last big holiday was. They had a celebration there, and there were some things that occurred that made her extremely uncomfortable. And so she's in a real bind, because should she not attend this, you know, this is her workplace, it can come across as being antisocial. So she's really struggling with how does she handle, You know, so that's one thing. I mean, we can definitely share, I think it says our horror stories, our holiday horror stories.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I think it's because there's so much pressure to do the right thing. And but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you didn't. I was just going to say.
Well, it's like Christmas time with presents. You know, I'm sure at some point in your life you've gotten something from someone that was way too expensive, and then you think, oh, my gosh, I didn't get her anything even close to that. And I think as you get older, you realize, or you hope that those exchanging will realize, that it's not about the price. It's about what you've given. Now, that happened to me last year. I have two friends that I, you know, I have two girlfriends, and they both always and did go overboard for me. I don't know if it's because I'm alone and I don't have a spouse or a boyfriend, and so I don't know if they just wanted me to feel better at the holiday, but I of course got something for them, but I saw they were in baskets. I mean, that's how much I got from these two. I mean, it was huge, and I could not have spent what they spent at all. And I kind of felt bad, and we all went out to lunch. You know, it was good, really good. As a matter of fact, I think I paid for the lunch because I felt so bad. But after a while, I started thinking of who I am and that these are my friends through thick or thin, and they just wanted to make me happy. It was something that they decided to do. They didn't even know each other was doing it, that it would be huge, you know. And so I got over that feeling because I was watching them, and they were so excited and so happy. And then I realized it doesn't matter what I give them. It matters what they gave me to them. And
exactly.
So I learned something.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, I could almost cry about it because it was overwhelming. You know, and it wasn't that my husband just died. I mean, that was like 3.5 years ago at that time, last year. But there were things that they knew that I wasn't getting myself, purchasing for myself. Not that eventually I couldn't have bought one here or there, but I could never have done it all at one time. And that's exactly what they did. It's like they talked to each other. Well, you get this, and then I'll get this. But you should have seen how happy they were. And I realized that when we were out to lunch. And I thought, oh, don't be such a dummy. They're doing this because they want to make you happy. They're doing this for you. That's what they want to do, and you have to accept it and be gracious. And it was gone. That feeling was gone. But at first I thought, oh, my, you know. I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars they spent, and I did not even get close to that. But you have to go back to it's the thought, but they're good friends of mine, and they've been through all what I've been through, basically. And that's how I adjusted myself right away to it. No, this is what they wanted to do for you. And it made them feel good to see how you feel. And that's exactly what it was. Exactly. So it just went right over my head. I didn't even say anything about it. And they were so pleased with what I got them. And they did. And I, you know, sometimes you can see on a person's face right away, you know, if it's liked or, oh, God, this is all I got. No, what you couldn't see it at all with them. They were beaming. Both of them were beaming. And I've talked about them being, they're both so much taller than I am. It's like I have bookends, you know. And I told you the story about them opening the door, and I walked through like I was some kind of princess. But this is what these two friends of mine do for me. Both married, both had nice families, happy and all of that. They just wanted to give Natalie something, some things, I should say, that she would not go out and purchase for herself. And that was probably one of the best things I can remember right now. But I think often you have to understand there's so much pressure put on to, oh, I got to buy 10 things for this one and 10 things for this one because they're going to get me 10 things. No, you don't have to do that. Just give from within. And the more people that do that, the happier you're going to be as the giver, and the recipient is going to be just as happy. But sometimes you'll run into friends that they base it upon how much you've spent. Now, I don't have any of those friends, thank goodness. I never had any of those friends. But you will run into them. They'll be a friend of yours, and they say they're your friend, but are they really? Or are they just looking at how much something costs? and where are you going to go to lunch? And we always go to Longhorn because it's they have the best salmon in the world. I love it. We all get the same thing. I mean, the guy, everybody there knows us. It's hilarious. But it's really good. We laugh. We have fun. I wish everybody had friends like that or a friend like that because I have two of them. And it's wonderful. So people, when you're shopping, and I'm just using Christmas as an example, don't try to outdo or outspend somebody else. You're not going to be able to do that. And if you're doing that, then why are you friends? I mean, basically, sometimes for birthdays, we just take each other out for lunch, and that's it. We don't exchange anything. And it's the best time. But that's how I do things. That's how I am. And as a little girl, I really don't have any stories because I really didn't have much Christmas and birthdays and all of that. So I can't really tell you what that was like. But I can tell you, as I got older, I really, you know, and my birthday was on Thanksgiving. So right there, you know, my son didn't want me to cook. My daughter-in-law absolutely didn't want me to cook. And I kept looking at my son, and he loves my turkey and these roasted potatoes. And I kept thinking to myself, nah, you want to do this, you should do this. But you know what else I was thinking? What if next year I'm not here?
Right. I knew you were going to say that.
And my son's going to think back, I should have had my mother cook. Why did I do that? Why did I pressure her to go out? So he came over that one day, and we talked about it. And I said, you know, I put my arms around him. I said, okay, son, what would you like me to do? His name is Louis. What would you like me to do? He looked at me and he said, I do love your turkey, Mom. I said, that settles it. I'm cooking dinner. Come on, let's go to the store. And I whipped it all together. And when they came over, they cleaned up, my daughter-in-law and my son, and I just held my granddaughter because she loves for me to rub her arms and everything. She's still like that, and I wasn't going to give that up for the world. And I thought, I can't do that in a restaurant. And I think it was doubly because it was my birthday, and my son would never forgive himself. So how I run my life is I always look ahead, and I always want to make sure that if by chance that I wasn't around, my son can look back and say, there weren't any mistakes. I'm happy. I have great memories. And I see, but that's how I am. And I did think about that. We don't know what's going to happen to us. But the thing of it is you just have to always think about those that you love. And it would have made my son so unhappy. And so it was an easy decision. My daughter-in-law felt that I shouldn't cook on Thanksgiving. And my son and I were laughing about it. Well, why not? Because you make better food than they do anyhow. So, and it was a great dinner. It turned out well. I mean, and it went all real smooth and nothing fell on the floor. You know, it was good. And I did it all myself. And I was very pleased. And my son was smiling and stuffing himself and took stuff home and so that's what I can recall, Maya. Now, do you have anything to add? Don't let me talk the whole hour about myself.
Well, I mean, yeah, which is why we made it in two parts. And I just wanted to make a few comments. I totally support and agree. In fact, my husband and I had just discussed that about, you know, our youngest is now going to be 20, his birthday, talking about birthdays on Thanksgiving. My brother's birthday is the 23rd of November, so his birthday often falls on Thanksgiving, but it's right there. And then my birthday is a week before Christmas. My youngest is the day after Christmas, the 26th, and my wedding anniversary is the day before my birthday. So
you planned that great.
I know. And of course, there's definitely humorous stories attached to all that. But at any rate, we were saying both of us are very much alike in the sense that if we had to choose, our joy is in giving, even if it's we're not in a position where, you know, we can give, you know, you know, spend $1,000 on some acoustic guitar or whatever. Nothing like that. But our fun is just, even if we're only buying one or two shirts or one little hoodie for our youngest, our joy comes in being able to give. And, you know, we really miss the days. We're so glad that we really enjoyed so much time, especially, I think, with my second, just because I was older. And so the joy definitely comes. There's no question about it. And I agree with you that we have to think about that, because we're all in different states financially, and we're in different situations. And there's, I have some friends, and I don't see them as much. You know, I've mentioned before that I raise and show dogs. I haven't done it as much lately as what I would like to, but I'm still active, and my reputation is very solid and very well known. I have champions in like 5 countries now, but I know that's kind of veering off, which I need to.
No, you should be proud of it. I'm proud of it for you.
Well,
I think it's wonderful.
Thank you.
So toot your horn. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm proud. It's taken years and years, and believe me, there's a lot of heartache with that. But I have 2 friends that I met back in 2003, and even though I haven't seen either of these gals, now we email, but I haven't seen, well, I've seen the one just for a moment, but we haven't really hung out. We used to show together, but all of us have kind of changed and, you know, just gone in different directions. And so it's probably been 8 years, I'm going to say, since we've done a show together. But, you know, we still send, now they're best friends, and we still send each other a box filled, and we are all on the same page. We love to put just little goodies. None of us can afford to spend a lot of money. But, you know, we wrap everything up kind of separately. So it's always fun. You know, I always love everything I get, and they always seem to really like. And, you know, we always laugh about how we're always trying to look for, you know, dog-related items, and which are hard to find just at the regular store, and just little things. So that's enjoyable. Now, I do have a horror story. So you would think that the joy would be in giving, and that especially this time of year, that people would be, you know, compassionate and would be, you know, thinking of each other. And I believe that we should go into, just like you said, into the season, not saying, oh gosh, you know, the Smiths or the Browns or my Uncle Edward or my cousin Johnny, you know, they live in this mansion. How am I going to, I mean, right there, you're taking away from the joy that's supposed to be. This is a time, or should be, regardless of your religion, just spiritually, it should be a time of rest, a time of kind of, you know, just embracing the energy. For a lot of people, it's winter. I know that's not true. There's many countries that are going into summer. But I have a time that I'm going to go ahead and share the story, and I'll try not to be too lengthy with it. But
oh, go ahead. Be lengthy.
Okay. Yeah,
you have my
ahead.
Permission, honey.
Okay. And then,
okay.
Then you get the talk. Anyways, this happened.
Yeah. I get to talk. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so this happened back in 1982. I'm not going to trouble with my brain trying to figure out how many years ago that was, but that was, 34 years ago, something like that.
1982,
and,
you said?
Yeah, like about
34 years ago. Very good.
Okay, well, let's see, I'm smarter than a 5th grader. Like that show, they say, smarter than a 5th grader. Okay, so anyways, at the time I was divorced and I was raising kind of shared custody, but I had the, you know, the technical custody. At any rate, I had my first son. He was a toddler. He was like 3, and I had a serious boyfriend, and we were cohabitating, and in my apartment, and I, the reason why I'm saying this is not because people really care, but because it goes with to get to the storyline. So he had a sister, he had a mother and a sister. His father had passed away of a heart attack long before I met him. And we were in a fairly, at that time, serious relationship. It ultimately didn't work out, but at that time it was serious, and his mother knew me, knew, you know, I had been to his house, his sister, we had done many things with her, and she had a child. She was not married to the father, but he was a part of the family, and I knew him as well. So I knew all these people. It wasn't as if these people didn't know me. They knew me very well. They knew who I was. I had been to their home many times. We had been out to eat, so on and so forth. So as Christmas started to come, we pooled our resources, and we together and picked out for his mother, for his nephew, who was the little baby, who was just as cute as he could be, but he was really shy, and then for his sister. And we both shopped, and we basically decided we were just going to split everything. And then we also purchased for James, was the name of the baby's father, who lived there with the mom and the sister and the baby. They just weren't married. They just chose not to get married. And then for my son, we did the same thing. We, pitched in. So the plan was, the plan was a little bit around my young son, because the one thing I wasn't willing to do is, he believed in Santa Claus. He was going to be waking up at my home with me on Christmas morning. So, which fit into their plans nicely, because a lot of families, this was in Illinois, and it was tradition for a lot of families to celebrate on Christmas Eve. They would open their presents. I don't know how that ties into Santa Claus, but that's not to do with the story. So didn't question anything, didn't think about anything. Got there, and the guy, had given me a little bit about, we're trading off, which, what our family traditions, and, our family always does this, our family does this. So when we got there, the first thing is there was this cider that everybody drank, and not with liquor or anything, just a special cider that was kind of a family recipe. And under the tree, they were already starting to put presents in a pile. And so we were all kind of sitting around and, just laughing and joking, kind of playing with the little kid. He'd already opened some present and was playing with some probably loud, crazy toy. I'm starting to look, and I'm starting to feel, I started to get, I had gotten a little bit of a feeling when I walked in, and something wasn't feeling right to me. And the longer I was there, the more I was starting to feel myself reacting, but I just wasn't sure what I was really reacting to, what I couldn't pinpoint what was going on. Well, when I looked at the pile was, there was how many of us? The mother, James, Donna, the sister, the baby, the guy, and then me would have been 6, and there was 5 piles, and then there was 1 gift. So the boyfriend, the baby's father, was in charge, and was what he was doing is he was going around setting out, from the pile, setting out a couple of presents, and then each person, that's how they did it. And everybody had a couple presents at their feet, and I had 1. And they had said, well, just wait to open that. And I said, oh, okay, yeah. So I'm thinking, well, I don't know, maybe it goes with something. at this point, I had no idea what it could be. I just had a feeling, and I kind of was looking to my boyfriend, and I knew something was not right. I knew I could just tell by looking at him. So as we're about 20 minutes into the unwrapping, each of the people, including the child, boys, some clothes, but mostly toys, but every person present, you know, I shouldn't use that word, every person there had opened, you know, sweaters, shirts, jeans, jewelry.
All kinds of nice things.
Kinds of things. And I still had the one present, and I hadn't said anything, but I was starting to, you know, to feel really, it was dawning on me that what was going on is I was getting one gift. That was.
You're hard to hear. Get closer to your phone or your something. Something you're getting
okay.
Hard to hear.
No, I was. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so I was starting to get the hint that there was just one gift for me. And so, okay, so a few more presents are passed out, and my boyfriend stands up, and at this time, I'm trying to choke back tears because I'm thinking,
yeah,
okay,
you felt
why
awful. I'm getting that feeling. Yes, I could feel it.
And
really
I was
hurt.
Thinking to myself, why was I invited if they're going to make it so obvious that I'm not even close to being a part of this family, then it should have been made clear that I wasn't going to be invited to this function. I wasn't a part of this whatever, and anyways, when my boyfriend stood up and addressed everyone and said, are you telling me that you bought presents as usual for everyone else and you bought her one thing? And he opened it, and he didn't do it very nicely, and it was a calendar. And he said, you know, what you did was horrible and unforgivable. And he said, you know, no excuse for her. She's just as much a part of my life is just because you have a child together and we don't doesn't mean that we're any less, blah, blah, blah. And so we left. And, you know, he later resolved things and they did apologize, but it was never, I would never have, I don't want to say never, because I believe in forgiveness, and I'm talking as a person now rather than letting my spiritualness take control. But it would have been very difficult for me to, you know, handle in the future. From that point, I just felt very different about things. I felt there was no, I mean, they were well off. The way the father died, he made sure that the mother was very well taken care of. And James.
You're getting faint again, Maya.
James, the.
There you
the,
go.
The, okay. So so basically, the moral of that story is that they have no idea how that one event, that one, you know, time, situation affected me and affected me deeply. I mean, I probably cried about that.
Oh, I would.
I mean, I didn't, I felt bad for my boyfriend because it wasn't his fault, but then a part of me also thought, you know, he probably should have, you know, talked with them and made sure. But anyways, that's my
right.
Horror story. And that's why.
That is a horror story. Yes.
It's better to give than to receive. Even if you give, even if they would have had 10 things and they would have been little things or whatever, I would have felt that I was part of something.
That was totally wrong. Nobody should have one and the rest have 15. That was totally
right.
Wrong, but I was, you were talking and I could feel it inside, like what that would have been like, and that's horrific. that. But that told you something about the family.
And then I'm supposed to, can you imagine then, I'm supposed to sit there and just smile and laugh and drink my apple cider?
I would have made some excuse and say, I'm not feeling well, I want to go home or something.
I was getting to that point, but that's my story. I'll let you go from there. But
at least he stood up for you and let the family know that that was not good. That did not welcome you into the family. They were not giving you a chance. It sounds like they didn't want you around. They didn't want you in the family. They didn't want him with you.
Right.
How could you be so cold to do that for anybody? I don't know. But, okay, my other one is, as a little girl, everybody that's listening knows that I had angelic guidance. I did not have my parents guiding me. They worked as hard as they could. They both came from very large families. My mother never had anything, so she wanted to have something, and she got it. She worked very hard. But the maternal part of her was on occasion. It was nothing like Maya is, like you are to your children, and I'm like to my son. My son is everything to me. Okay, so, you know, this one, I don't even remember, to tell you the truth, getting presents under the tree. I remember getting a dish set from my godmother once. And I don't even, maybe it was for a birthday, maybe it was for Christmas, but it's all completely blank, probably for a good reason. And so it's one morning I get up, you know, and I'm excited, and I go to the tree, and there's nothing under it, not one thing. My mother and dad decided, I guess, I don't even know if I talked to them. I don't think I even talked to them about it because I would remember. Decided that there shouldn't be presents under the tree. All of a sudden now. I was not warned at all. I think I was probably...
How old were you?
What?
Do you remember?
I was just going to say, I must have been 9, something like that. Younger than Jada. Because if I would have been Jada's age, I didn't say anything. I probably would have said something at Jada's age, you know.
Right.
But my childhood was really, really unusual. And even, you know, I go across the street to the lady that I had to stay there when my mother worked and stuff, and they had all kinds of things under there. I was never included. But it didn't bother me. It's bothering me more now than it did then because it didn't really bother me. That's why I'm saying my childhood was planned a certain way, and it had nothing to do with presents and who does what and who gives to what and all of that. It was just let's give her what she needs so she can grow up and be what I am today. That's what I feel about my childhood. So, you know, when I had my son,
don't rush through the agony.
Okay,
of it.
I can't hear you. Are you not on speaker?
Yes, I am. I don't know. I'm afraid if I push a button.
Okay, I can hear you better. I think you just have to get closer to your phone. Okay. So what were you going to ask me?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, first of all, I was going to say that what I get about the other family, that wasn't right, but you had grown accustomed to that, plus combine that with the way your childhood was. So it wasn't all that out of the ordinary for you to not get a lot of things. It doesn't seem like your family.
Right. I was used, it's almost like I was groomed for something else. It didn't really, I didn't go home and cry. It didn't do anything to me. It was okay.
But
I mean, I didn't even get mad. I didn't do anything. It just went right all over my head.
What you're saying is the whole time that you knew these other people, I know you've talked about them that
yes,
you did
I knew
get
them since I was 4 years old.
Them. You're saying that they never got you anything for Christmas? There was never anything under the tree?
No.
And it was your parents that... Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that... I don't understand
that. I think
that.
Because they thought my parents were doing it. That could have been it. I'm guessing. I have no idea.
Yeah,
so anyways... it didn't really affect me then like it would today. To me, that would be earth-shattering to a little kid.
I mean, how could you wake up as a child? I would think, I don't know if you still believed in Santa Claus. How could you wake
right.
up?
Oh, yes, I did. I still do. And, you know, I told the story to my granddaughter, and she sat down and she said, "Grammy, why did they do that to you?" I said, "I don't know." And she complained a couple years ago about her birthday party, you know, that she wanted this big party and everything. And my son said to her, "I'm going to have Grammy tell you what it was like for her. And then you're going to realize." And she said, she sat down to, I think she sat on my lap. She sits on my lap all the time. But anyway, she said, "Well, Grammy, what happened?" And so I would tell her about birthday parties that I don't even remember. I don't remember any of them for a reason, I think, because I don't think there were that. I don't think the recognition was good, so I didn't need to know. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I was supposed to grow up as fast as I could and do the things I was supposed to do and then become the woman I am today. That's what I think, because all of that in a normal childhood, and I'm just getting this right now, in a normal childhood would not have been acceptable at all. It would not have happened.
No, Natalie, I mean, what a miracle the way that you are towards other people. Do you know,
I know
that?
That's the thing.
Well, coming
yes.
from my background in psychology and my guides adding, coming from both spheres, in every 99.9% of people would not have been able to be the person that you are. They would have been anger, either had severe anger issues, addiction issues, mm-hmm. or at the very least, they would have been cold. But for you
right.
to be the loving parent that I know you to be, and grandparent, and spoil your children within your financial means, but it's not about
oh, yeah.
the money. It's about making sure that they enjoyed their Christmas, that their birthdays were special in whatever way,
right.
whether it was going to Disneyland, planning
right,
a trip
right.
that would happen, or wrapping presents. There's no way. I mean, it's almost as though you were treated the way that my guides are showing me. It's as if your parents treated you like you were an inanimate object. And it just, I'm just absolutely... I mean,
yeah.
I could cry.
Well, even my
or
son
I could...
says to me in the car, "Maya, how did you turn out like you are?" I said, "Louie, I have no idea. I have no idea. Everybody thought I was spoiled because I was an only child." Oh, my God, that was the furthest thing. I mean, my mother would buy me something. She would buy me an Elvis long play, you know, the big 33 and a third record. She'd go to Kresge's. That was Kresge's then. She'd bring that home once in a while on a Friday. But to make a big deal, and I was her only child, to make a big deal out of anything for me, it just didn't happen. But nobody else did it either. Nobody else did it either.
No,
that's how strange it is. My childhood was very strange. It was very strange. And it is something that I grew up to be a young woman that I am, that's so giving and loving, doing things for everybody. My neighbors came over. Because my son's going to do their floor. They had their house flooded out, remember, while they came over to look again at my floor and everything, and they decided, yes, this is what they wanted. And he said to me, he said, "I can't believe all you've done for us." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Oh, my gosh." He said, "You're out here when FEMA is here. You're out here when the inspectors were here. We're all at work trying to make money." I said, "That's exactly right." And he said, "Well," he looked dumbfounded. I said, "What's so strange about that?" He said, "Well, all I did was help move a tree off your roof once, and that was 5 years ago, 6 years ago." And he says, "Look what you're doing for us, even the other neighbors." I said, "Well, all you do is say thank you and smile. That's all. It's good. It's all good. It's all good."
Yeah.
So you see, what I've done in my life, I guess, is kind of compensated for what I didn't have or experience, I should say. But I really
right.
think, I realized that I was being groomed for something else. That's why. I wasn't going to grow up like the rest of the girlfriends that I had. I was not going to be like them. I was going to be different. And, you know, the stories about my life, almost dying and all of that. I mean, so to me, the greatest thing that I can do is give to other people. My granddaughter, if my granddaughter wants something, you know, my son will say, yeah, she really wants this for Christmas. I, okay, what is it? Tell me what it is. She's going away on a little trip or something. I tell my son, make sure you buy her a snow globe because she collects those or something from me. And because he said, well, don't spoil her. I said, I'm not spoiling her. What I'm doing is creating memories. When I'm not on Earth, she's going to look back and say, yep, my Grammy did that. She did that for me. She hugged me. She tickled my arms until her hand was going to fall off. She never complained. Look what she did for my dad. It's true. And maybe that's what I was put on Earth to do. See, it's just, and I'm not done, you know. And so I'm already thinking about what I can do for people near Christmas that, you know, that's important to me and not family. And so I have good ideas, and it'll come to be because I've already put it out there. And I don't know, Maya. I can't explain it. Nobody's ever been able to explain it to me, except that I was allowed to maintain something within myself as a young child, go and not even care, didn't have feelings one way or another about me not getting anything or getting something, didn't bother me at all. And I was just not like all the other little girls at all.
I mean, you wonder, though, I mean, if you were to take who you are now, first of all, I completely agree with you that it did, you had angelic guidance and intervention because you could not be the person you are without that, and that's why you carry that with you and you spread that around, because that was, if you want to call it fairy dust was sprinkled, it had to have been, because there's absolutely no way spiritually or psychologically that you could have come through what you did unscathed. And you said that it didn't bother you. There, when you say that, it's very peculiar to me, because it's one of two things. It's either because from the time, I believe that spiritually, you know, we've talked about our cache, where spiritually we have every memory. The best way is if you've ever watched the movie Avatar, the way they plug into the tree and they can get all the memories of their ancestors and everything.
Like Akashic Records, yeah.
Right. Now, we carry that within us. It's just that it's not a conscious memory because it doesn't serve any good, and it would be too chaotic and confusing. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Or if it was a time or a place where it was very important that we were able to perhaps recall that or remember it, we would. So it had to be, in addition to spiritual intervention, it had to be one of two things. Either from the time you were in the womb and from the time you were first born, you were already, that energy was already sent to you, that, you know, you're just like a vase or a chair. You were treated as something without feelings, so you grew accustomed to it, you know, because otherwise a normal person could not imagine yourself back in that same situation. You would have said, you know, where's my presence? What happened? How could you do this? You would cry. You would be upset. You would be,
of course,
was that bad? Did I do something wrong?
I remember feeling bad, but I didn't say anything.
So you did feel, that's what I wanted to get at.
I remember walking, I can see the tree, and I walked back to my room, and I read a lot and listened to music a lot and stuff. They didn't have headphones and stuff like that, so I had the music low, and but I didn't hold on to it. You see, I felt bad at that moment. Okay, nothing under there. Okay. Walked back to my room. I'm good to go. I went on what I was doing. I didn't miss a beat because...
Nobody ever said anything to you later? You never mentioned anything.
This is the way it is. And, you know, I don't, as I got older, and, you know, I really didn't think about it that much, come to think about it, as I know now. I mean, I didn't really pay any attention. Like I said, I had a purpose, and it was not going, that this stuff was not going to affect me. I cry more for other people than I do for my, I do for myself. And even, you know, taking care of my husband was the same thing. I just stood up and I did it. That's it. It was like, okay, maybe that was part of my preparation of what was to come, but I don't know. My son always asked me, he says, Mother, I don't know how you turned out like you did. He said, because Grandma was not. She was good to my son, and so was my dad, but not to me. So, yeah, it was kind of strange for me.
And so what do you think, like, for people that may have gone through that or even worse, that their parents or whoever that may have occurred with, their guardians, whoever took care of them, who did things that were just completely unacceptable or may have been abused, now those are questionable or toxic energies. What would you suggest if those people are still around and they're still repeating those same hurtful patterns? Would you suggest that you were a little girl, you didn't know any better back then.
No.
But as an adult and what you know, would you suggest that those people either avoid putting themselves at the mercy of someone that can continue to harm them, or would you suggest that
if something, and they're older, like, you know, of course now, I don't even think I'd say anything now because it was a trained thing for me, response. But I would tell them that, first of all, if people do something like this to you or make you feel this way, you have to remove yourself from that particular situation. It could be a family thing kind of thing. And, of course, you can't avoid them. I mean, you have a family, that's it, you know. But you can certainly try to remember what I went through and just don't worry about it. Just you keep doing the good that you know you can do, and maybe that's what I do. I mean, I you'd be surprised what I do. But I love it. It makes me feel really good, and it's the light within me is so bright. And, you know, my voice, everybody says, it's got such a high vibration. Well, maybe I earned it. Maybe all those years, you know, and I got married when I was 19. And now that I think about it today, part of it may be because somebody paid attention to me, which was my husband. That's part of it. You know, where I didn't have it the early years. And, not, you know, maybe that's why I felt, I guess I should get married. Of course, that's what you did then. But that's what I miss so much now. Because I know what happened is I miss that I don't have somebody who really loves me. But then, you know, I talk to you, Maya and Ricky, and, you know, I'll say to God, what are you saving me for? What else is coming? I know there is something. And so what I've decided to do is just keep doing what I'm doing and be the great person that I am. And I'm not tooting my horn, but I am, you know, I help a lot of people. I do a lot that I don't have to do. Online, lots of people. But I'm going to stay the way I am because obviously it's a good thing. And if you want to look at karma, you can talk about karma. But these people that are allowing themselves, see, I was a little girl. I couldn't change it. I didn't even think to change it anyway. So you can't compare yourself to me. But I think now if I was put into some situation, I would just quietly remove myself. The only way that I would speak up, and I've told my son this, is if it affected my granddaughter or my son. Oh, you bet I would speak up, especially my granddaughter. And so that's the only thing you can do is just say to yourself, I am not going to take this. And I'm not going to let this bother me, but it probably will. So it's going to take a lot of work. And if you're listening and you hear this, what I'm saying, think about me when I was a little girl. How did she do it? Oh, I don't know how I did it. But just think that there are, you have to believe in things that you cannot see. I say that all the time. And you just have to ask and sit back and be a good person. You have to be a good person. You're not going to get through life with a bright light like I have doing it any other way. That's the only way. You know, I'll even type on Twitter, do everything under grace and you cannot fail. And some people get it and some people don't. They'll say, well, what is this under grace business? Well, go look it up. It's real. And
right.
But yeah, that's, I don't know, if I went to a psychologist or a psychiatrist and told them this story, probably fall off their chair. Because
yeah.
I don't have any strong like to hurt somebody. I don't have quirks like that. I don't have that. Not that I'm perfect, but I certainly had the right care when I was growing up. And the little girls that I played dolls with, and you know, I told you I didn't even get the doll I wanted. She didn't even listen to me. Well, now I collect these Ever After dolls and Monster High dolls, and you think of monsters. No, they're beautiful little dolls with pretty faces and pretty dresses, and Candy's listening, and she's probably laughing because Jazzy likes them too. And so so now I get those. And in a way, I guess I did get my dolls. I had to be my age, but it's okay. It's good. They're all in my office looking at me.
Right.
So, Maya,
I
don't know. I don't know what happened, but you're right. It happened before I was born, all of it, because I could have turned out to be a monster. I should have, but I didn't. And my son, well, he'll come to me, Mom, I really need to do this. Can we figure out a way? Well, invariably, I'll figure out a way for him to do it. And then even if it's loaning him money, then I get it back. Mm-hmm. But I always remind him, you know, I do this because I love you more than anything. And Jada is second. But really, she's not second. She's in line with you. I would do anything for them. Step in front of a bus. And I would do that. But I said, you have to understand now, you know, if it's money, I need it back so I can do some things in my house. And I want Jada to learn that she just cannot figure she's going to get everything that she asks for, even not at Christmas and her birthdays.
Right.
You know, I'll do things. I get her Netflix for her and I pay for her phone. She knows now, but she didn't know before because her dad told her, you always have to be nice to Graham. You have no idea what she's done for you. What I'm trying to do is to teach her, or show her, I shouldn't say teach her, what I'm like, what I'm about. She's learning. And my son is wonderful. Everybody says that about him. What did you do with him? Well, I just loved him. That's all I did.
And you supported him.
Yes, and I took care of him in the best way, and I don't even know how. It doesn't matter. But for those who are in situations, Maya, like we talked about, it's really tough. And you have to also remember these people, it's probably a learned thing for them. When they were little, they something happened to them, and they're taking their anger out because I didn't get this, and I didn't get to do that, and I didn't go here, and Susie next door went, and I didn't get to go. That's a little bit of jealousy that could be a lot of jealousy that doesn't help you to grow into a great man or a great woman. It really doesn't. And, that's how I handled it. I didn't have to handle it. It was handled for me. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right. I mean,
Maya's sitting there thinking, shaking her head like, how in the world did she get through all that? I told you, I wasn't like the other kids at all. Mm-mm. Nope.
Well, I mean,
and even the teachers didn't specialize with me. Like, you know, one teacher, because I could read real early, she would have me talk the book report rather than write it. And, you know, she realized that it was better for me to discuss and talk about it. And it was a good thing. But I just, I guess I think I missed some things, but I guess I didn't miss anything. It wasn't important for me to grow, to learn.
Well, I think all those things are important, but what happened is you had to have received a huge amount of spiritual energy from a higher source, whether that was, you know, an archangel, whether that was just a ball of energy or, you know, an entity or a group of energy. You know, it's almost that you were, you know, you had this biological family and they were raising you up, but then you had a spiritual family and you were being brought up in a spiritual way so that
right.
everything, you know, rather than it being harmful to you, would end up being actually virtues that you would carry, and then you would
yeah.
spread the word, and
yep.
just like, you know, stars, that's stars with a Z, of course. You know, I mean, that's such a beautiful spiritual place. And so all of you is that is you, really. I mean, if you think about
yeah.
it, I mean, if all of us true experts, I mean, yes, we should take some credit, but still it
absolutely.
Was started
and you know, the strange
it.
Thing too is with stars, Maya, is all of these people came to me. I did not seek them out.
That's true.
You know, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, you see the bigger sites, there's like thousands on there. Well, we're doing a lot of things, and, you know, I think I wrote to you today something. All these other sites, yes, they have lots and lots of traffic and quantity they have. When how I ended it, I said, oh, yes, they have all this, but they don't have me.
Right.
And the thing of it is that I run this in a wonderful atmosphere. If somebody writes to me about something, I'm there for them. I try to do whatever I can do. And I'm very kind. But I do have a part of me that in business that I have to not command certain things, but certain things need to be done a certain way so that the site doesn't get into any trouble. I don't get into any trouble. It's like the images on the site. I'm very particular about that because I feel that it's a business and it should be run like a business. So I'm very and I'm happy with the way things are going. And, you know, we're going to be testing our new stream because we've got the video working. It's just going to be beautiful. People are going to be teaching. I had a quick reading from this lady who writes for the magazine. She's a shaman. And she said, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. Well, she threw out some cards and stuff. And the last card was a star, but it was upside down. And she said, you know what? I'm turning this right side up. And I said, why? Aren't you supposed to read it upside down? Nope. She said, because that's not you. You are not upside down. You need to be the star. You are the one that shines. You are the one who will shine. And everybody around you, you'll take them right with you. I said, well, I will do that. I mean, it was a nice compliment. No, I'm turning this card around. I don't care. I don't care what guides are listening. She says, I'm making a decision here. You are not upside down at all. Although being upside down with the star card is not that bad. But she said it's much better. And she said, you know, sometimes it's up to the one who's reading to make that decision. And I've just made that decision for you. So that's what she said to me. She encouraged me. She said, I know you like everybody, you like to do it for everybody, but she said, you know, there's going to be a point where you're going to have to do it for you because it will affect all those people that you have. And
right,
she said, you'll get up to, you'll do the challenge, you'll take it. You'll take it and you'll do well. So I got the feeling that something was coming that that would put me out, but by putting me out, I've always said to people, I go, you go, because that's how I am. I will not bring all of you with me. Wherever this goes, you're all coming with me. That's it. You are. I have Candy, I think, who wants to say something. I'm going to pull her in here. She wants to tell something about Thanksgiving since I and the show can run a little bit longer.
And I may have to go.
You know what we should do is we should just have Candy come next week to tell this so that we're not rushed and you're not rushed and it'll be better. I mean, and I'm sorry I ended up talking so much, but I guess it was purposeful and there was a reason for
yes,
it because people are going to listen. And,
yes,
you know,
yes,
if you're
yes,
in
Candy.
This, and we're going to continue this next week, so yours truly will not have to talk as much.
Yeah, Candy can share her story right away, so. We
yes,
get to hear
yes.
from her.
Yes, yes, because I would really love to have her say what she has to say. And, because we are at 9 o'clock right now. But anyways, I feel good telling that, and I'm sure Maya, you wanted me to tell all about this because it does relate to situations that you get into in your life, and they can affect you and make you feel crummy and all of that, and it's just, it's important for people to hear that, and so next week maybe you'll tell us, no, you won't tell us another horror story, because there won't be another one, not as bad as that, oh my goodness.
No.
I don't,
no.
If I would have been there, I don't know what I would have done. I guess, you know what I would have
no.
done, I just thought about it. I would have grabbed your hand and said, we're out of here.
Well, that's basically what happened, but, no, I'll talk more about just the generalities, and then you
yes,
can share.
Because yes, I kind of got off, and really I probably shouldn't have, but
well,
I don't know. The
okay,
divine
but...
works in a mysterious way. Some maybe there's something that somebody's going to get from it and help them along the way. But, yeah, yeah. So, anyways, okay, well, we're going to do part two with this next week. And I think, yes. Oh, can I tell? Oh, she wants to say something. Wait a minute. Hold on. She said, can I tell this week and let Maya go? It's important. And then Maya would have something to respond on next week. She seems like she's got something to do. Yeah, well, she does. Hold on, Maya. Is it fast? She's in the chat room typing to me. Well, this is an impromptu show, I want to tell you. Yes, she said
yeah.
fast. So hold on, let me just connect her. Let's get her in here and get it done. She wants to say something.
Right.
So hold on. Okay, my Candy, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for allowing me this time with you guys.
Oh,
you know,
no,
I
don't
guys.
Allow you. I want you. I want you to do this. Go ahead.
Thank you, Maya. And thank you, Miss Natalie, for everything that you guys do. First, I would like to make a couple of responses to the things that you guys have been talking about, because you guys have been talking about some great stuff. So, and after the show, you guys are going to be thinking about this, and you're going to be like, oh, I get it now. My first is, all a kid knows is what they see and hear. What happens in their home is what's normal, and society has a different view of what is normal in society. And the next one is, sometimes life hands us a platter that is filled with exactly what we wish for. We just have to really concentrate on what it is we're wishing for and be specific when we do that. Okay, and as you, Miss Sally, knows, but not everybody, none of our listeners, well, some of our listeners, probably not a whole lot of even the Stars family knows that, you know, I was given Jazzy, my granddaughter, when she was 8 months old, and I had her till she was 4 and a half, and April 18th of 2016, I apologize, she was handed back to me. So last year, this time, there was loads of animosity, chaos, and everything else stressful, you know, that could possibly be on the table, and things people have nightmares about. So this year, through that time, since then, I've eliminated these people who were giving us this negativity in our lives, and these people who are presenting these negative things in our lives. And this year, we were invited to a totally different atmosphere. This year, we were invited to join a Native American Chicora Indian family for
oh, wow.
quote, Thanksgiving, unquote, dinner. And it was an amazing. Jazzy had an amazing time. I had an amazing time. We coexisted with some really amazing people, and this has happened in the course of a year.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad you got to share it, Candy, and I got to hear it. And so, yeah, we'll comment on it on part
we'll
two.
We'll elaborate more next week on it. Yeah, we will. But, yeah, Candy knows how much she's loved. Maya knows how much she's loved. And if Jazzy heard this about the Monster High doll, she would have appreciated what I said.
She did hear you.
Did she? Oh, she's probably
she
smiling.
Heard you.
She had a smile. Did she? Oh, good. Okay.
She did
but,
hear
well,
you.
That,
and she did smile.
We'll
and she
show.
Said, did she just talk about me?
Yes,
she
I
said,
did.
A minute.
I talked about the,
her,
I her
exact...
our Jazzy.
She is our Jazzy. And do you know what she said? I'm going to give you her exact words. Did Miss Natalie just talk about me?
How cute. That's something. That's something. Well, she's getting good values. But anyways, Maya, okay, I'll let you go. I love you very much. Same time next week. And we'll get more information from Maya, and maybe she can expand on what Candy just shared. I think that that would be good. And Maya, I'll talk to you this week, of course. And Candy, I love you. You know that. And I'm sure Maya Moon does, too. We're a great family. I'm very, very blessed. I've said that over and over again. I've got
I love
the best
you girls
on the internet
for
around
all
me.
You
I really do.
Thank you. I love you, girls.
So, anyways,
and all
that,
you
I'm
do,
gonna,
thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to say goodnight. Okay, goodnight, Maya. I'll talk to you this week.
All right. Much love to you both.
Okay, love you.
Goodnight.
Bye, Candy. I love
Peace.
You.
Peace. Peace. I love you all.